Episode 179.
And I said, you know what? I know so much about cars that even my friends call me when they have problems with their cars. You know, so I was like, maybe I could go into a profession like this, but instead of just being a mechanic, actually start a business out of it and be an entrepreneur.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hey, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world, welcome to another entrepreneur interview on Remarkable Results Radio, and I'm your host, Carm Capriotto. Welcome to your only automotive aftermarket audio resource where ideas, insights, expertise, and personal achievement is served up twice a week. Today I'm with Tristan Rialovit in episode 179. Always see the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E179 for more on Tristan Rialovit. Now this episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They're the reasons you enjoy these interviews twice per week. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Here's a shout out to a few recent followers, David Buchanan and Bill Connor for their recent Facebook follow, and to Wayne LeClaire, Mark Goldsmith, Steve McMahon, and Mike Carrillo for their LinkedIn connection. Hey, don't forget to follow me on Facebook at Our Results Podcast, on Twitter at Our Results Biz, and LinkedIn, it's plain and simple, Carm Capriotto. Now, meet Tristan Rialovit, AAM. Tristan owns Real Auto House Automotive in Westmont, Illinois. He's been through a lot as a shop owner, and he shares, very honestly, what his challenges have been throughout the years in business. For many, they would have thrown in the towel years ago. Now, armed with powerful advice from his mother, he continued his quest to be a shop owner, even though he didn't understand the business side of the business. This is a story that exemplifies entrepreneurialism at its best. He learned through the school of hard knocks and shares how he confronted the brutal facts of having to climb out of a huge debt and make a success of his business. As luck would have it, he found AMI online and then bought a Mitch Snyder book. Those two forces put Tristan on the right path. He has plans to add his second location. Tristan also had the chance to meet in person Mitch Snyder, who unknowingly helped him build a better business, and that was at this year's Ratchet & Wrench conference. And he tells you the story. Listen to a very inspiring Tristan Rialovit, a person with a dream, and how he has parlayed it into a very powerful vision of the future for him, his family, his customers, and his team. Now, here we go with Tristan Rialovit. A warm welcome to Tristan Rialovit from Real Auto House Automotive. Hey, Tristan, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Of course, I'm ready.
You are a fascinating young man.
Thank you for that.
You came from the Philippines when you were 14 years old.
Yes, that's right. My parents, actually my grandfather was a U.S. Marine back in World War II in the Philippines. And by joining the U.S. Marines at that time, he was granted a citizenship automatically. And he was able to petition his kids to go to the States. My father at that time was married, so the petition took longer. So it took about like 15 years. And so when I was 14 years old, the petition came and my parents were like, we're going to the States. And we're like, cool, awesome. And but at the same time, my parents had a business in the Philippines, and they had a small business. And they're like, I don't know, maybe this is not a good idea to go to the States because we have a business. We're leaving all this behind. But at the same time, same token, a lot of Filipinos, or I guess people all over the world, were trying to go to the States because it's a land of opportunity, right? And we just couldn't pass up the opportunity. So we basically got everything together and we moved. And we stayed in a small apartment in the west side of Chicago. and that was that. And my parents didn't have any work.
And what business did they have in the Philippines?
They had an ice business. So basically supplying tube ice to restaurants and to convenience stores. You know, there's a bag of ice that you could buy.
Yeah, I would imagine that in the Philippines, ice was a big business.
It was actually, because if they sell it, and if it doesn't sell, it melts, and the convenience stores have to buy them again.
Oh, it's an interesting take on it. Yeah, it's very good. So you moved to the States, and you told me that your dad was mechanically inclined. So he said, "Hey, we should work on cars."
Yeah, you know what? When we moved here, we met up. My parents met up with their friends, and just having lunch one day. You know, they were talking about cars, and my dad's like, you know what? I'll take a look at it. I know a little thing about cars. And so he did, and he fixed this car up. And the people in that party were all impressed. And they were like, yeah, we need a mechanic. Everybody needs a mechanic. And they got his number, and people started calling him. And that's how it kind of got started.
So you got old enough to possibly work with dad, to hang out and fix cars with him?
Yeah, you know what? Back in the Philippines, I never worked on cars. I don't know anything about cars. Actually, I didn't even really like cars that much growing up. I was never into mechanics or fixing cars up. But when I got here in the States and I saw my dad actually working on cars, and he would ask for my help, and I'll help him out. And I was learning, like, over the summer, I would work on cars with him and things like that. But still, it wasn't a route for me.
Because you didn't think it was a glamorous job. It was more of a grimy job, right?
It is, yeah. Not only that, it's besides that, the perspective of being a mechanic is not that really, you know, enticing for a young man to go into. You know, I mean, the perspective of the whole industry is like, oh, you want to be a grease monkey. You know, while your friends are going to universities and studying professions, you know, like law or medicine and things like that. And you're like, it's probably not that kind of profession, someone that's attractive for a young man or woman.
So how did you get over that?
I think it was a little bit of nature forcing me to do it. Basically, I went through high school. I was in my senior year. Everybody's like, you know, visiting colleges and stuff. And one day I'm like, you know what? I didn't even apply to any colleges. I didn't even know what profession I'm going to go into. So I'm kind of like, man, I'm going to get left behind because everybody's doing their thing. And I came home and I was working with my dad. And I said, you know what? I know so much about cars that even my friends call me when they have problems with their cars, you know? So I was like, maybe I could go into a profession like this, but instead of just being a mechanic, actually start a business out of it and be an entrepreneur, you know? And so I did. And the first thing I thought was, well, if I'm going to start an automotive shop, I need to know everything about cars, how to fix them and how to diagnose and things like that. And I went to a community college right after high school, taking automotive, and I got my associate's degree in applied science and technology. I got to work right after that.
And you started your shop right out of college?
Right out of college. I told my dad, hey, Dad, you know, like, we should start a shop. And he goes like, yeah, you know, that sounds like a great idea. But, you know, and unfortunately, at that time, my parents were getting divorced. And he told me, hey, Tristan, it's great. You want to start a business? I'll do everything I can to help you, but you're going to have to do it on your own. Me and your mom are getting divorced and I'm moving out. And that was that. And I guess it kind of forced me to step up, I guess. And because I know that my dad was leaving, and I know that he was also a prime breadwinner for the family. And by him leaving, I don't know what's going to happen to me and my brothers and my mom. So right there, I said, I got to do something, and I got to do it fast.
Were you close to your dad?
I was close to my – you know what? Growing up, I'm not very close to my dad. But I always respected my dad, and I love my dad very much.
How big was the family that you had? Brothers and sisters, you mentioned, or just brothers?
Just brothers. I got three brothers, so there's four boys. My mom and my dad, so there's six of us.
Wow. Together. Did you feel like you were the had to be the breadwinner?
Yes, I did. I did, you know. And I don't know. I don't know if why, but I just had this feeling that I had to be. You know, growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, but we had relatives that had a lot of money. And you go to parties and you see them. And you in the Philippines, you could really see the difference between people who have and who have not. It's a really defined line. It's either you do have money or you don't, you know.
Did that want to drive you to be successful?
Of course, yes, definitely. Definitely. You know, seeing my cousins, they have things that we don't, and I just keep asking myself, like, how come they have it and we don't? And I would ask my parents, and they would say, maybe later, you know, maybe later on, and things like that. So that, I think that's what drove me really to be successful.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Gurus training, support, and get in on the rewards. You found yourself hiring friends, and then you got in some trouble.
After getting out of school, soon right after, we opened I needed to open a shop, and I want to do it legit. So somebody told me I need to incorporate. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know what that means. But I got a hold of an accountant, and she was able to incorporate the company for me. We picked the name. It's called Real Auto House because it's the first four letter of my last name. Mm-hmm. Not only that, Real, I don't know, it's really struck something to me because being real is being authentic, you know, being authentic, being honest, and being true to yourself and things like that. So it just worked. And I was talking to my brothers and my parents at that time. I said, you know what? I'm going to name it Real Auto House because auto house, like we started in our home, in our garage. You know, my dad was fixing cars in the garage.
Yeah.
And auto house. And the spelling was actually H-O-U-S, like an American spelling. But my older brother was like, you know, you should make it H-A-U-S so it sounds more cooler, like German, you know?
Well, actually, yeah. I wonder if that – does that bring in foreign nameplates for you to work on because of the –
It does. Actually, wow. It does. And
smart move.
So that's how we got started. And funny enough, you know, we started in the back of a pickup truck. Me and my dad, and we'd go from house to house fixing cars at people's garages. We had a compressor there. We had tools there, you know. And we didn't have nice tools, you know. We don't have Snap-on or anything. We just have Craftsman, Husky, you know, the things we could buy from Home Depot and Sears. And we packed this Nissan pickup and – this rust bucket with tools, and we'd drive all over Chicago fixing whatever. We fixed stuff on the side of the road, and this is how we did it. And eventually, I always wanted to move from mobile technician to an actual opening a brick and mortar business.
Yeah.
And we were able to get a hold of a place for very cheap. It's a two bay, but the only problem was it wasn't zoned for automotive. The zoning changed, and that's why the business moved out. But we were able to rent it, cash only, no contract. And we were there for about a year and a half until the cops came and they put a sign on our door that says you can't do business here and we're going to have to tow your vehicles out.
So not a lot of money in a place that you were paying cash for rent that you got closed up on, not knowing a lot about business. What happened next?
After we got the notice at the door, we got scared. We got scared. Honestly, I was like, "Oh my God, we're gonna go to jail," you know. So let's get all this stuff out of here. So the first thing we did is we took all of our tools and whatever we can get and put it up in a U-Haul and in the storage, and we took it out. We hauled it out of there. And there are some cars that I owned that were basically junk cars or parts cars that I had like sitting in the lot. I just left it there. I didn't know what to do with them. I don't know where to put them. And I can't bring it all back to my mom's house because we already got trouble with the neighbors having cars in the in our neighborhood. So after that, I was like, I think I'm done. I don't know what else to do. And one day, I was going to the church with my mom and my dad at that time, and they were like, "So what are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know what to do." And my mom was just like, "You know, you work really hard. I see that. And I want to support you. Find a spot. If we can afford it, then I'll front the money and we'll get started."
Wow.
It's like a calling, because right after church on the way home, we saw a spot right by our neighborhood and we never saw before. And it was for lease, and we made the call, and that was that. And that's the location we are here today. We've been in our location for about 10 years now.
So mom believed in you.
Yes, she did. And before she gave me the money to start, I guess, and one thing that she said to me that really stuck with me was, "Tristan, I'm going to help you, but you have to promise me one thing." And I said, "What's that?" "Never, ever give up." And I took that to heart up until this day. And that's the same lesson I'm going to give to my kids. You know, same advice I'm going to give to my kids. It's simple, and it sounds cliche, but it's so true.
No,
it's so powerful.
It's working for you. It's made you who you are. And I don't know if your mom realizes the level of wisdom she gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Does she?
I don't know. I think she does.
All right.
I think she does. We never talk about it, you know. But recently, actually, I wrote a letter on my blog, on my website, and it's a thank you letter for Thanksgiving. And I mentioned my dad there, and I mentioned my mom there. And she came to see us on Thanksgiving, and she just smiled at me, and she gave me a kiss, and said, "Hey, did you read my blog about that letter?" And she just goes, "Yeah, I read it. It was nice."
Okay.
And that was that.
It's what an honor. And if you'll let me, just give me the link to your blog and I'll put it on your show notes page, because I'm sure our listeners would love to see it. Now, so you started out in business. Ma helped you. What did you know about business? Did you realize that there was more to know than just fixing cars?
Not right away. And it actually took more than a year to figure that out. As soon as we were rolling and we got the sign up and we got the word out, we were pretty busy for the first year. We're very busy. But what happened was every month, it seemed like my mom would come to me and say, "Tristan," because she was handling the financials. And she would say, "Hey, Tristan, you know, just so you know, we're going to add another like $3,000, $4,000 in the bank just to keep up with payroll." And we were doing this on a monthly basis. And like, "Ma, it's all good. It's going to work out. It's all good. It's all good. It's going to work out. It's going to work out." And, you know, like a year or some months later, we look at our financials and we were about $100,000 in debt in credit cards. And mind you, we didn't have $100,000 in cash. We were cash advancing from credit cards.
Right.
And it was all my mom's credit cards. Right. So she said, "Maybe, you know, we should look into something else, look into another venture or something like that. Maybe this is not what's for you." And I said, and I was talking to myself, and I said, what's wrong? We have a lot of work. We're not making money. We're very good with people. We're very good with cars. But what gives? You know, what's wrong? And I'm then just thinking about it. I said, you know what? I don't know anything about the automotive business. I don't know anything about business at all. And so first thing I did was do a Google search. You know, I said management, automotive management. Maybe there's a school out there for this type of stuff, right? You know, so I searched and I found AMI online. And they had some courses on the mechanical section, some courses about business. And there was one book that I bought. It was written by Mitch Snyder.
Sure.
And it was like the title of the book was Dollars and Cents, or Making Sense of Dollars, or something like that, if I can remember right. And I read that book, and they talk about profit margins, efficiency, your productivity, and car counts and things like that.
So you're reading Mitch's book, and you're going through all this stuff, and you're scratching your head, and you're saying, "What's this?"
Exactly. I'm like, "What's all this?" But at the same time, it's enlightening. Like, this is what I need to learn to run an automotive business, and I did, and I started doing that, and we started making changes. And at that time, we had a lot of friends. A lot of my friends were working in the shop. And basically, if somebody, you know, at that time in my hiring process before, if somebody comes in and says, "Hey, I know how to work on cars," I'll be like, "Great, come right in, you know, let's get started."
Yeah, it's they call that fogging the mirror, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I learned the hard way, because most of these people that I hired broke stuff. This guy I hired day one, he put on brakes, and it was like grinding out of the parking lot, and the customer brought it back. I just put some brakes on. What's that grinding? And we look into it, and basically the brake pads were wrong, and he hammered it into the caliper bracket to make it fit. And so this thing got stuck and just like grabbed onto the brake and burned up the brakes, and things like that, you know. And I had to learn the hard way and learn how to hire properly too down the road.
And you basically said that you terminated or let go the friends that came in to in honor of the fact that you were hiring people that knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I did. I did. I remember this one time, and I'm not going to say the name, but I had to let go of this one guy because he sleeps on the job.
Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. So you read Mitch's book, and then you told me that you ended up buying more of Mitch's books.
Yes, I did. I think I have 8 books or 9 books total. And I read through them. I highlighted it. I underlined things and just really it took it to heart and applied it to my business.
And tell me now when you met Mitch for the first time.
That was just actually a couple months ago this fall. I went to the Ratchet and Wrench conference, and Mitch was there. And there was a party that night. There was like I don't know what they called it, but it's basically the Friday night had drinks, had dancing, had, you know, there was a band there and everything. And Mitch was there. And I was like, man, that's Mitch Snyder. I should say hi to him. But I'm like, no, that would be weird, you know. But then I got to conjure up enough courage to say, you know what? He helped me a lot in my business, so I got to say thank you. So I went over there and I said, hey, Mitch, I introduced myself and I told him the story. Like, you know what? Your books helped me, you know, get my business in line and to becoming better. And I told him the story how we owed so much money in credit card bills and how his books, you know, set the margin straight for me to actually make a profit and start paying off this debt. And basically he goes, you know, Tristan, I flew from all the way from California, and this just made my trip. And to me, that was like, you know, man, that was cool. And like, we had to take a selfie. You know, let's take a selfie. So actually, if you go to my Instagram, I have a selfie with Mitch.
Hey, would you send me that so I can put it on your show notes page?
Sure, definitely.
I'd love to have that picture of you and Mitch. Well, great. So you met the guy who really helped you move to that next level. Where are you now? Is the debt paid?
Yes, definitely. So we have been growing for the past 4 years, pretty much 25%, 20 to 25% growth in sales every year. This year, we're just projecting about 5% growth. We're kind of reaching a plateau with what we have. And by the way, too, a lot of things have changed this year. Before, I used to work 7 days a week and no time for family. But now we're only working 5 days a week and we only have two technicians. And I have a service writer and I'm focusing on the business now. So it's, even though it's only a 5% increase in sales this year, it's more than that because I'm no longer working on cars. We're working only 5 days a week instead of, you know, 6 days a week.
That's a big number considering that you've pulled yourself out and you've limited your hours. Well, good for you. Now, are you having fun working on the business instead of in it?
Yeah, I do. It's very, you know what? It's challenging, but it's actually fun to see growth in the company. And you're seeing your employees are growing as well, and you see your sales are growing as well, and you're seeing customers are happy and they're satisfied with your work, and you're seeing all these reviews come in online and they're all great reviews. It's just, it's, that's what it is. You know, it's hard. It's not easy. It's not, you know, happy and dandy all day. But at the end of the day, when you see the results, that's what really gets me.
What do you love to do for the business?
I love actually looking into the marketing, but I also like looking into the future and setting this company up for growth in the future.
Give me an idea of something you've recently done to set the company up for the future.
In the process of wanting opening another shop. So I've been looking into real estate properties for lease originally. And my plan is basically we have three bays, two technicians, one service advisor. And this location is really running very lean because you were talking about lean on one of your podcasts yesterday. And I'm like, man, that's my business. My business is running really lean. You know, two techs, one service advisor, and they're just, you know, really putting out some work. And my vision for the company is growing it where we have multiple locations. And passing it on ownership to my employees, basically.
That's interesting.
Sure.
You're a young man, and you're preparing to pass the ownership on? Don't you have another 20 years to work?
No, actually, the way I – because here's my thing. All my guys are all millennials. I have a 21-year-old technician. I have a 23-year-old technician. I'm 32, and my service writer is 32 as well.
Okay.
He's turning 33 this year. And you know what? all of them have dreams. All of them want to be business owners as well. They just don't want to be technicians for the rest of their lives. And they keep telling them this and tell them, hey, look around at our neighbors. Look at the other shops out there. You see these guys, 50, 55-year-old, you know, they're still working in cars. They're still turning wrenches and draining oil and things like that. And they tell them, you know what? You don't want to be like that, you know, 20, 30 years from now. You want to have to open – you have to have your own business because you know what? Reality is when you get to that age, it's going to be hard to get underneath the car in wintertime and it's snowing and it's cold. You know, and you're going to hurt your back. You're going to – your aches are coming out and pain is coming out all over different parts of your body. And I told them, you know, this is the way. And you've paved the way and you give the younger kids an opportunity – to be in this field and have them opportunity to grow and have their own business as well in the future.
You are a very forward thinker when it comes to that. Now, do you really believe that you're going to work with your young millennial team to help them be in business with you or have their own shop?
Yeah, I totally believe that. I totally believe that. And the way we're going to do it is from one shop. You know, Carm, I mean, I only have one shop right now. And, you know, I talk to a lot of people, other business owners who have multiple shops, and they say the second shop is probably the hardest one to open. And I'm kind of getting scared, but at the same time, it's what I need to do to grow. Because if I stay like this and in one location, even if we grow the shop to 6 bays or 8 bays or 10 bays or whatever, eventually the guys that are working under me, they're going to leave. You know, they may leave, they may stay, but you know, these younger kids, they all have dreams, you know, and if I don't provide that, that's going to be the end of it.
I love your thinking. It's so forward thinking and very compassionate to involve your team in finding a piece of the good life.
Yeah, I believe everybody should, you know. Like I said, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. And I think one of my strengths, one of my friends asked me, what's your strength? And I said, you know what? I think my strength is being able to put myself in other people's shoes. You know, if I'm a young guy, young tech, getting into this field, and if I'm him, I'm going into this field with a lot of anxiety. I don't know what I'm doing. There's a lot of professionals out there. It's very, you know, there's a lot of testosterone, you know, in the shop, you know, and frankly, you know, older or veteran technicians, they pick on some of the younger kids all the time, you know, and I hear it from their stories when they work at one of my guys. He's a master technician now. He worked at the shop for one whole year and he was just doing all changes and sweeping the floors the whole year. I hired him and he said he doesn't know much besides all change. I said, that's going to change. And the way I did it, I put him to work, things he never worked on before, and I let him figure it out for himself. It cost me time. It maybe cost me money to redo some of this work, but he learned within 6 months, he was able to get all of his AC certifications, all of it,
wow,
within 6 months. Because you know what? When he was working at that first shop, the text there said, that's not worth anything. It's just a piece of paper. That's what they keep telling him.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not. It's not a piece of paper. That piece of paper tells you that you're competent in doing your job. Not only that, it gives you the confidence to work on things you've never worked on before. And I put some incentives there for them to take. And they pay for the test. I pay for the test and I give them a raise when they take the test.
ASE is going to want to hear this interview because that is a great testimonial for the reason to become certified.
Great. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I truly believe in ASE.
Good for you. I love the mentor thing. You know, you bring in a young individual and saying, hey, listen, you're not going to sweep the floors here. We all pitch in and we do that. And you're not going to clean the bathrooms because we all pitch in here and do that. I'm going to give you some real work.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Here's a really cool story, too. My second guy that I just hired, he's 21 years old. No, you know what? I mixed them up. The master technician is 21. This new guy I hired is 23. And he just graduated from the local college. No experience, never worked in a shop, applied here. And he was very shy. Like, you know, like he was so out of his element. And I did the interview, and usually what I look for when I'm hiring somebody is the character, the attitude, and how perceptive they are, or how accepting they are to the ideas and things like that. And I saw something in this kid. So I hired him, and he's only been here for 6 months, right? Same thing, no AAC certifications, nothing. And 3 months, from hiring him, he's got these two AAC certifications. He's got suspension and brakes. And I told him, there you go. That's where your confidence is going to come from. Because knowing that you passed suspension and brakes gives you the confidence to work on any brake system. You don't know anything all about brakes and what's out there. But when you're here in the shop and you say, you know what, I'm certified, I'll figure this out. I'll find out what's going on with this brake system or the suspension. Now he's taking out suspensions, bearings, you know, he's doing brake jobs, you know, under an hour, what the book time is. And he's getting really fast. Yesterday he did a timing belt water pump on a Nissan Frontier in very short period of time, you know, for his skill level. And I was telling him yesterday too, before he left, I'm like, man, you're doing a lot better today than you did the first day you came here. And he's like, oh, he was like, you know what? I'm so happy, you know, that I worked here. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm doing my best sometimes. And I said, hey, don't do that. Don't put yourself down, because, you know, it takes time to become really good.
What are you going to do to continue the learning curve, seminars, education for your team?
That's one of my things, is to take them to training all the time. Recently, we went to Auto Mechanica, and I took the two guys there for training. They loved it. They'd never been in that setting before, and they didn't even know that existed. You know, you go to a place, and there's all technicians. There's great trainers. And for them, they were, like, so happy about it, because they'd never been in that setting before. They didn't know that that was out there. You know, so we were just going to continue that in doing that. And I'm actually planning to take them to Vision. I've never been to Vision. I've heard a lot of things about Vision from your podcast and a lot of people from ASA, because I'm a member of ASA in Illinois.
So you joined ASA, you told me, early on in the business. And did that really help you?
I joined because of the discounts, basically. But I'm not like a outgoing person, so I don't really like going to places and talking to people. I feel really awkward going into a place and there's a lot of people, and I thought ASA was like that, and I was like, I would never go to this one of these events, and they have this like chapter meetings. And I think about 3 years ago, I went to one of the chapter meetings, and I was so scared. You know, believe it or not, I was so scared. It was at just somebody's shop, you know. And they had barbecue, they had some beer, and they were going to do a roundtable discussion. And I walk in there, I'm just like, man, this is so awkward. I don't know anybody. And I'm like the youngest guy there too, you know. But I was just so surprised, because everybody was so so nice, and everybody was so giving with their advice. And
it's amazing, the members of ASA and the local chapters, those organizations are so tight and so giving and so willing to work and help each other. So you walked away, what, brand new friendships, big network?
Not right away, actually. But I walked out of there, I drove home, and I was feeling really great about myself, you know, like, I don't know, the feeling was great. When you do something that you're really afraid to do and you actually do it, right after, that's it's a really good feeling. And you know what? There was a conference too, ASA CAN. It's a I don't know if you're aware of that. They do it in Illinois, like fall, around fall. And they have training, they have management training, things like that. So I attended that. I sent my service advisor there. But soon after that, there was an email from ASA that they were looking for new members for their board, right? And I said, you know what, I'm gonna sign up for this board, even though I don't know anybody. Like, I'm not close with anybody, I don't know anybody. And I just emailed the director, Deb and Donna, and I emailed them, and they said, yeah, come on board, go to one of the meetings and see if you like it, or, you know, see if it's for you. And so I attended, and again, I'm the youngest guy in the room, And I'm just like, okay, so what's happening now? And they're talking about industry issues. I spoke with several of them after the dinner and the meeting. And I said, you know what? I want to be on board. I want to be part of this. And it's not just because, you know, being in a board, but more importantly for me, I want to learn from the great shops in our area. You know, they've been members of the ASA for years, 40 years, 30 years. And they are the shops that are quality shops out there. You know, so there's a lot of wisdom and a lot of information and knowledge to learn from these guys. And that's why I'm there, you know, and to learn from them and maybe set the new generation of shop owners down the road.
This is great. You know, the opportunities that you're creating for yourself as such a young man in the industry and taking some big leaps of your own. As you say, you were a little shy and, you know, you could have sat in a shell forever and just run a small little business or expand your horizons and connect, not only helping the industry, but learning. What's the greatest advice you've ever been given?
There's a couple that I hold dear to my heart. One is what my mom told me. It's never give up.
Yeah.
The other thing that my dad showed me was to learn from your mistakes. That's one thing. And I think when he told me, I remember the time when he said, hey, Tristan, we're getting divorced. Here's my cell phone. Anybody who calls, and you know, here's the cell phone and here's the keys to the truck. And anybody who calls, you pick up. And if you can do the work, you do the work. And if you can't do the work, don't do the work. And I'm just like, okay, let me figure this out. But what I learned from that was my dad basically was saying, if you want to do something, you got to learn from it. And you have to go at it alone to really learn from it. You know, learn from your mistakes, make mistakes, and discharge that to your experience. You know, experience is like a credit card machine. You know, whenever you have a mistake, you just charge it on that, and you get that back later. So those are the two things for my parents. They're very, very dear to me.
I would ask you your greatest wise words at the end of the show, but you've already given them to us, so thank you for that. When you think of you're a young man, but when you think about where you've been and where you're going, what do you want your legacy to be?
See, our mission in our shop, and I tell this to my employees all the time, our mission is to earn the trust of every customer that comes through the door, doing it by providing excellent service, and that's customer service and fixing cars. And I tell them my vision for the company is to be the trusted choice of automotive service in America. And when I say America, I mean national. And my employees were like, whoa, that's crazy, it's too big. But you know, I said, that's if we work at it and we work hard and we have this forward thinking and we do everything we can to make this happen, it will happen. And all of you young kids are going to have four bay shops all over the United States, you know, and it's going to be one big franchise, one big company, you know. I think that would be the biggest legacy I would leave behind. And hopefully 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I will realize that. And maybe I will save this recording and I'll play this 30 years from now for my kids or for the rest of my people.
I've done a lot of interviews, ton of them. This is one like I've never done before. Thank you for being honest and sharing and caring and so open. And thank you, Mom, for helping
yes.
you get started, because obviously there is something, she saw something inside of you, almost exactly what I'm seeing now, that I think you're going to be just so successful beyond your wildest dreams. And wow, Tristan Realibit from Real Auto House Automotive, thanks for being on the show.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Carm.
Hey, aftermarketers, thank you so much for listening. Do you agree that Tristan Realibit is focused on his vision? He sure is. He knows what he wants, and I believe he will be very successful and see his vision come to be. His personal learning curve and his desire to learn from industry peers will make this young man very successful. Hey, find additional show notes on Tristan Realibit from Real House Automotive and a link to his company at remarkableresults.biz/E179. That's also the place where you can subscribe to be an insider and get the insight on every new episode. Hey, do me a favor. Share this episode with a friend. Tell your network about the podcast. More and more every week I hear from listeners who appreciate the content. I'm confident that one of your industry friends will too. Hey, thanks. I'm grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.